We welcome you this morning. We're going to actually preach on, you ready for this? The genealogy of Jesus Christ. We're going to preach on how to be rich. See, yeah, no, okay, sorry. We're going to get into the genealogy of Christ, but I promise you it's absolutely fascinating. We're going to do that. But first, I'm going to do something. If there's a lot of people, a part of our church here, that you've known Christ for a day, a week, a month. So this is going to be new to you, but there's some of you that maybe grew up in a tradition or a denomination. This won't be so new to you. But I want to read to us out of the book of Luke the story that we actually sang about all morning. But there's a lot of churches around the nation and the world that actually, when you read the Bible, everyone stands in order to honor the reading of the word. And with this being a Christmas kind of tradition sermon today, could I ask you to do this? Could I ask everyone, if you are an able body, just stand to your feet with me. I want to read to you out of Luke chapter 2. And in order to honor what God has written for us throughout throughout time, just ask you to stand to your feet for the reading of the word. And it came to pass in those days that it went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this tax was the first made by Cyrenius, the governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone in his own city. And Joseph, who went up to Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, to Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. The reason for this is he was of the house and the lineage of David. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there the days were accomplished that she should deliver. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. But the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And then suddenly, there was this multitude of angels and heavenly hosts praising God, saying this, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into the heavens, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go even to Bethlehem and see the things which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made a broad saying, which was told to them concerning this child. And all they had heard it wondered at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Today, God, we are going to hear many things, but we ask the ability to ponder them in our heart. Gracious God, for thousands of years, this story has been echoing throughout humanity. I pray that I have the opportunity today to continue the sound reverberating in our ears. That it's not a fairy tale and it's not a myth, it's not a legend or lore, but it's the account of one God's love for the people he created. So with the reading of the word and the preaching of the gospel, may you be glorified today. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So this morning, I want to first of all start telling you about one Christmas that sticks out in my mind. It was a Christmas where I came down the stairs and there were gifts as far as the eye could see. See, this was something mom and dad always did, and it's actually a tradition I've kept up now. You hide the gifts in the bedroom until Christmas Eve, and it's not really hiding. There's a big kind of bulge in the corner with a blanket over it. Like, we know where it's at. But then another thing mom and dad always did is if we had socks that we needed, if we had toothbrushes that we needed, dental floss that we needed, they would wait and save that and wrap everything. So on the day of, you may look like you have 20 gifts to open. But let's be honest, there was only three that you were really aiming for, right? You would shake them. They'd sound like the Legos. That's what was ideal. And then one day, I open up possibly the greatest gift I've ever had before. There were playing cards. How many collected playing cards when you were a kid? Anybody? I know baseball cards, playing. So I was a basketball guy. I was a Chicago Bulls guy, if you really want to know. Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, right? Forget about it. So we opened this card. This is Anthony Hardaway, a sign card, right? And I got to open this card. And then Shaquille O'Neal, Diesel. How many remember him? Okay, so I got to open up this one. And then, of course, they got me a Michael Jordan. And who doesn't know Michael Jordan? And I was so excited because I got these cards and I was ready to open them up. I was ready to read them. I was ready to trade them. How many ever flipped cards? Am I too old to be able to say that? Okay, so how many? And I found out I got to do all these things because I got these cards given to me. And as soon as I got this great gift that I was going to be able to play with, here's what I was told to me. These are collector's items. You can't play with them. Mom and Dad don't hate me. They just like to hurt me sometimes, okay? What do you mean they're collector's card? I can't play with them as a kid. I want to play with the gift. And they're saying, no. They're too valuable to play with. You just have to look at them from a distance and adore them. And I'm going, I'm really young. And most of those words I don't get. You're still coming back to, I don't get to play with my playing cards, correct? And they're like, yes, they will be of such great value one day. Then do I get to play with them? Well, no. Now they're a collectible. And I just remember going, this isn't fair. I want to play with my gifts that I got. And here's why I kind of say this. I was thinking about it this week. I think we do the same thing to Jesus. I think we hear about this man named Jesus, and he's so valuable, we put him on this pedestal, and we go, well, we're not actually allowed to play with him, right? Because our hands could get dirty, which makes Jesus dirty, because that's real logical. We may crumple the edges, which takes away from the value of who he is. We may portray him wrong to the world around us, and now all of a sudden people less about God because of the way we kind of displayed him. So what we end up doing, we kind of put him on this display and we just assume his value is so great we can't be around him. And here's what happens is Jesus kind of becomes an elitist. Can we say it this way? This was real popular a few years back. He becomes a part of the one percenters. He becomes separate than us. And if someone is separate than you, they don't actually know you. They can't connect with you, right? I was listening to a podcast a while back. This was great. This individual happened to be in a meeting with a billionaire. And the billionaire made this comment. He goes, I know what the everyday man wants. And the guy in the meeting with him goes, hey, quick question. How much does a gallon of milk cost? He goes, what does that have to do with anything? He goes, you say you know the common man. What are they paying for a gallon of milk? And the billionaire had no idea because his personal chef buys all of his groceries. So at some point, if Queen Elizabeth was standing up here right now, and I told you Prince Harry just got engaged, how many would go, yes, I know about this? And if she was standing up here going, I know how to connect with you. You're my people. I'm your people. Wouldn't some of us kind of go, no, you're really not. Like, we know your genealogy, we know your heritage, we know your status, and we appreciate you caring about us, but you're not really going to sit around the table, take off your shoes, and put them on the coffee table with us this Christmas season. And so if I was standing up here and I said, man, I know how you guys feel. The castle that I grew up in was so damp. Really? Yeah. No, I had maids. They couldn't ever figure out how to do the proper fold on my sheets, and I'd get in. You go, this guy has no idea what we're talking about. But if I come up here and I say something like this, I grew up with a middle-class family. I had a mom who provided, a dad who worked hard. Eventually, both parents worked full-time jobs. How many go, hey, I can connect with? Because I'm no longer separate than, I'm up here connecting with you. Well, this morning, I want to get into the genealogy of Jesus Christ because I think most of us, actually, if I were to say this to you, what's the picture that you get in your head of who Jesus is? Like right now, what is the mental picture? What is the photograph? Does he have a crown of thorns because he was on because it's close to Easter coming up? Is it a photo that maybe looks like this? That you have the thing of Jesus and he has this glowing shine around his head. How many picture that is Jesus? So that when he walks in the room, there's always this kind of this heavenly host. Jesus is the type of person that if you took him to a messy meal, he does it like barbecue. How many has ever taken a first date at a barbecue restaurant? You don't, do you? Because you have sauce ear to ear, and it's all over your hands, and you can't be putting on your best impression when they can see that you're clearly a carnivore. And so, but when you look over at Jesus, he's like completely finished. His white robe has no spots on it, and the bones are perfectly placed like 12 elders around the plate. You know, it's like, he's perfect. He's perfect in everything that he does. And so if he's perfect in every way, if he's this, can I say this? If he's this elitist, if he's separate than, if we can't approach, how can we actually say that he's connected with us? And I would say this, you need to study the genealogy. Because if you know where Jesus came from, you'll know who he came for. Okay, and now some of you, you want me to say it like this. If we know from whom he came, we'll know for whom he come. But I'm just not that proper in my English. I like the way I said it the first time. So if you know where he came from, you'll know who he came for. And I know it's not proper English, but it rolls off the tongue better. So that's what we're going to do. Any of you okay with this middle class, me educated person up here? It's all about parallelism. So here's what we're going to do. The book of generation of Jesus Christ, which, by the way, Christ, and I'm really saying this to make sure, you know, Christ isn't his last name. It wasn't Joseph Christ and Mary Christ. It was a title. And so this is important. I just need to make sure you know this. So Christ actually meant like Messiah or anointed one. So it was the title of the anointed Jesus, the Messiah Jesus. So this is the genealogy of him, because we're going to see that there's a genealogy, because if you open up the Bible and it started like this, once upon a time, in a land far away, there was a perfect man who ate ribs without messing up, who was the anointed Messiah, you would do this. This is a fairy tale. Like, this isn't true. Here's what the Bible goes to do. No, we're going to tell you about the birth line of Jesus Christ so you know who the person is that we're dealing with, because if you know where he came from, you'll know who he came for. And so here it is, Jesus Christ, the son of David. And by the way, Abraham begot Isaac. Like Abraham, you know Father Abraham. You sang his song a million times. No, I'm not singing it. You want me to, don't you? Father Abraham, many sons. Okay, so actually we can't really sing, because if you sing too much on YouTube, we'll eventually block your video. Welcome you online. Glad you're streaming. So it's Abraham with many sons. So Abraham, we know him as the father of many nations. He was the one that when God said, go that direction, he just picked up and went. Do you remember that he was heading into a certain town? Upon going to that certain town, he looked at what his beautiful wife, and he goes, hey, I'm really fearful. They're going to think you're pretty, and they're going to want to be with you, which means they have to kill me. So, honey, I'm just going to tell them you're my sister. Hey, wives, any chance you're going to get on a website and look for the blog that says, looking for a wife that I can be faithful to unless I may lose my life? Like, Abraham actually said, I'm going to tell them you're my sister so they don't kill me, but guess what? I'll still be faithful to you. This is who Jesus came from. And said, begat Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. You got to love Jacob if you don't remember Jacob. Jacob's the one that he and his brother, they came out, and all of a sudden he wasn't going to get the birthright. So his brother comes to him starving to death. And he goes, listen, I need some porridge. I need some food. And he goes, fine, sell me your birthright. Rather than being a brother who loves and cares for, he was a brother who took advantage of. And so he took his birthright, but then when dad was going to actually say the blessing over him, he deceived his dad by dressing up with a bunch of fur, because his dad was blind, dressing up as hairy as his brother was. That just sounds romantic, doesn't it? Imagine that. And so now you have Jacob, and then Jacob begot Judah. Judah, if you don't remember who he was, he had a brother named Joseph. Joseph, the coat of many colors. Does that name sound familiar? Judah was a swell guy. He sold his brother into slavery for cash. Hey, Judah. And he was annoyed by him, his brother Joseph, because Joseph's dad loved him the most. And so now you have Judah, who's selling his brother into slavery. And then, by the way, Judah forgot Perez and Zerah and Tamar. Tamar is actually going to be one of five women mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus. This is very important, because women were exiled. Women weren't supposed to be in this type of genealogy. And so, could I say this? The excluded was included in Jesus' genealogy. Now, Tamar, I'm going to say this as one big kind of brush over fast, because I know we have young people in here, came about, or there was an incestuous situation that occurred that she was a part of. On purpose, lying and deceiving that occurred. So there's Tamar. And all of this is in the lineage of Jesus to bring about the Savior of everybody. These are the nuts in his family tree. Okay? Judah, Perez, Tamar, Abinadab, Rahab. Rahab, I remember the walls of Jericho. Children of Israel come in, they march around, they're going to fall. Well, before they fell, some spies went in. Again, let's just say this, a broad stroke, to a lady of the night. Did you catch it? Good, because I'm not going to repeat it. So now all of a sudden you have Rahab, who is an outsider to Israel, who is selling herself for money, and she's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. So you have King David. King David, he's the great one. He's the man after God's own heart. That actually came after he killed somebody, probably forced himself onto a relationship. You with me there? So now when he did and she got pregnant, now he had to kill the husband and there was deceiving that took place. And David, a man after God's heart, is a felon. He's a murderer. And then David was such a good dad. He had gave birth to a guy named Solomon who had 700 wives and 200 concubines. Can you imagine what Valentine's Day was? Like, that is... Like, you know you're just going to have those cards printed. You're not hand-signing all those. But it was that level of a dysfunctional son, because the dad, actually, dad had another dad that when he said, call your sons, and he didn't even bother bringing David in. So 2 to 3 generations later, do you wonder why you have a fatherless generation there? And so now you have Solomon, who gives birth to Rehoboam. Rehoboam was a king that took Israel, and he was so divisive, he split Israel into 2 different nations now. Or can I say this? He was the cause of a family split, right? Okay, so right now, I'm about halfway through the genealogy, and I just watched the most amazing anointing go across the room, the anointing of glazed eyes. I saw it. I felt it. So here's what I'm going to say. The second half of the genealogy doesn't get any better. Actually, there's one guy who is so wicked, God cursed his seed line, cursed it, and said, nothing good can ever come from you. That's how wicked you are. Okay, so, but it's really easy to go, well, these are Jesus' forebearers. And you can't really, I didn't pick mom and dad, right? I didn't pick grandma and grandpa. I can't pick my forebearers, but you know who I can pick? I can pick my followers. So if we know who Jesus came from, we'll probably know who he came for. And if you look at his followers, you go, no, that's exactly who he came for, right? Because now you have Matthew, one of his disciples that he picked. He was a tax collector. Is enough said? Like you said? Okay, we'll go into greater detail. Taxes, IRS. So Matthew was actually an Israelite who worked for Rome. By the way, Rome was the conquering nation that held the Israelites captive. So Matthew would go around to all his Israelite Jewish friends, collect taxes from them, charge way too much, and then pay off Rome. And he himself got very wealthy. Good guy here. You know, he cooked the books. Could we say it that way? You have Peter, who was a hothead, foul mouth. I was going to say, who can relate to him? But you know what? I don't want that here. Let's just look perfect, not act like we're not. So you have Peter, who is foul-mouthed, and I was thinking about this morning. There's a couple times that if I was Jesus, I would have asked a different follow-up question. Okay, so they're in the garden praying. People come to steal Jesus. Peter jumps out, pulls his sword, cuts off a soldier's ear. Do you remember that story? Jesus says, stop. If I was Jesus, I would have said, stop. Where did you learn that from? I don't think Jesus had to ask that question. I think he knew Peter well enough where, no, this doesn't surprise me. There was another time where Jesus told a couple of his disciples, go up the road, get a donkey. And they go, okay, we got this. He goes, no, don't go steal a donkey. No, don't worry about it, Jesus, we can take it. Like, they're pulling out the little thing to pick the lock on the donkey to get it. Like, he goes, no, when the master comes out, just say, or the owner comes out, say the master has need. You're not allowed to steal a donkey for me. Have it given to me. Like, if you read some of the stories, you go, he hung out with a bunch of, like, thugs here. Andrew, this fisherman who was uneducated, James, you got to love this. James was only a few people that was invited to a prayer meeting. And Jesus is like, listen, I'm so stressed out. I'm sweating blood. Can you stay up for 20 minutes and pray with me? James is sleeping on the job. This is how much the love of his disciples. This is his followers at this time that Jesus had around him. And then you had Simon, the zealot, who was so politically minded, he thought God could come through politics. I'll just let that sit out there for a minute. Oh, good one. Okay, so these, of course, are his followers. So his forebearers, tell us where he came from, but his followers kind of tell us who he came for. And we know all this, so here's what I'm going to say. I feel like right now you're going, okay, Pastor, you've said a lot of words, sometimes very quickly. You've said a lot of names that I probably don't know and stories that I'm unaware of. Can anyone go, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now. So Jesus' dealings are with actual people, not ideal people. Jesus' interactions, Jesus' relationships, Jesus' conversations, they were with actual people, with actual problems, with an actual past that none of us really want or would like. So he dealt with actual people, not ideal people. Because ideal people means Jesus is set up here on a pedestal, and of course his life was perfect. He didn't have to deal with non-perfect people. Actually, no, it's the complete opposite. If you kind of know where he came from, you know he came for. Now that he's here, you can see the people he was with. Why? Because Jesus was willing and wanting to identify with you. Not be set aside, not be aloof, not be an elitist, not be separate than, but to be with. So I've said all these names, I've said all these stories, I've said all these examples. To just break it down to this, if you lost me somewhere along the line, here's what I want to tell you right now. Do you have a husband that was a liar or is a liar? Jesus can identify with you. Do you have a brother or a sister who has deceived you, that has hurt you, that you go, wait, we're blood, that shouldn't have worked like that? Jesus can identify you. Have you ever been in a relationship that was disloyal? You know, the people that hurt you the most are the people we allow to be the closest. When they hurt us, we never saw it coming. We never saw that betrayal kiss on our cheek to sell us out. I just want to let you know today, Jesus can identify with you. Have you had sexual abuse in your past? Maybe in a relationship, maybe when you were a child, maybe with a babysitter, maybe with someone who you should have called family, but they called an abuser, a predator. Jesus can identify with you. Do you feel excluded? Do you feel like you're the black sheep of the family? Are you the one that got picked on and you were the one bullied and you were the one talked down to you and you were the one that people heap shame upon? Just so you know, Jesus can identify you and he doesn't want to exclude you. He wants to include you. Do you feel like you sold yourself for a paycheck? You feel like you've abandoned your dreams? You feel like you're at someone else's mercy to tell you your value? I want to let you know that Jesus can identify with you. Do you have an illegal past that you wish no one would know about? Have you committed a crime? Is someone in your family has a felony, has someone in your lineage done something where you go, I hope the world around never knows I'm related to that? Jesus can identify with you. Has there been affairs? Jesus can identify you. Are you a single mom, baby out of wedlock? Jesus can identify with you. Do you know anybody who's had actions that has divided your family? You didn't want your family divided. You didn't want your loved ones to go. You didn't want to go to multiple places this tomorrow, your Christmas trip. You wanted everyone to be under one roof loving each other. But it was torn away from you with decisions that weren't made by you. And there's a longing inside of you to connect with. Jesus can identify with you. Too religious, hot-headed, a thief, a tax betrayer, a betrayer of just relationships, Jesus can identify with you. Jesus can identify with us in our sins. Why? Because if we know where he came from, we'll know who he came for. And the last thing that Jesus is, this perfect display of a person that wasn't meant to be interacted with. He wasn't meant to be put on a shelf. And let's say it this way, he wasn't meant to be put on a shelf for once a week us to come see him at church. He wasn't. He wasn't meant for once a week us not to get in and start turning the pages and see, guess what? Buy a new Bible. The pages will be sharp again. There's no devaluing that goes there. Actually, the best read Bible is the most honored Bible. Jesus is meant to be taken off of a shelf and put in our life. And that was the greatest thing about this day 2,000 years ago in a city of Bethlehem, the King David's from. that a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes is now lying in a manger to do one thing, to get dirty with us, to be connected with us. Because for so far too long, there was a separation between man and God, between creation and the Creator. And the Creator, you know, forever it's been preached in the church, man, you got to get saved so you can get to heaven. And Jesus is going, no. You got to get me to bring heaven to earth. Jesus like flipped the script on everybody. The religious people said, you have to be perfect so that one day we can be with God. And God's going, no, just be with me and I'll make you perfect. So here's what I can guarantee. If you and I pulled out your genealogy, your timeline, your ancestors, I would put Jesus' dysfunctional family against any of yours. And if you know who's his, where he came from whom he came, you'll know whom he came for. And he came for each and every one of us. And he didn't do it with pomp and circumstance. He didn't do it in an elitist way. He didn't do it being born to a castle. He did it as a baby. So this morning, I want to tell you about this gift named Jesus Christ. But this gift is only as good as being up here right now. I want to tell you this. It's available for you. It's available to be given to you. Now, you can leave it up here, and it's still valuable. Or you can take it with you, and you can understand its value. I'd like to invite you to take it with you today. And that is the good news of Jesus Christ. But to do this, by the way, kids, we love having you in here today, and you've been amazing. Could I ask everybody to do one more thing? We're going to have some announcements, receive an offering, and plus tell you a big, exciting announcement's been happening around here at the church. But could everybody right now just close your eyes, bow your heads, and just kind of, I think the best way to say it is isolate yourself from the people around you so that you can respond however your heart's feeling. And your heart may be feeling like, yeah, Jesus was this perfect guy that I cannot connect with. I hopefully dispelled that myth to you today. I hopefully, in some way or fashion, dispelled the myth that you have to become perfect for Jesus to love you. Actually, he loves you in order to make you perfect. And if you are here today and you go, you know what, 2018, I'm ready to turn my life around. I'm ready to go a different direction. What I've always been doing, the life that I've always been creating, it's ready to change, and I need a creator to help me with that. I want to tell you about a man named Jesus Christ that was born on this day, but 33 years later died for you. He died on the cross so that you could have life and life abundant. And if you're here today and you may not know everything that I've talked about, you may not know every story that I discuss, every example I use, but your heart's kind of beating, your mind's kind of racing, and inside of you go, I don't know what the full answer is, but this feels right. Here's the question that needs to be asked then. Would you like to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? And with every eye closed and every head bowed, if that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you to just simply raise your hand in the air for one thing. Just so we can identify with you. I see these hands up front. Just raise your hand. I see those hands in the back, in the middle. Praise God. Praise God. I see those hands over there. This is the reason he came, in order for you to receive. You know, with so many hands up, can we all say this prayer together? Dear Jesus, I receive you today as the Lord of my life. And I repent of my sin. I freely receive the gift that you gave on this Christmas day. Thank you, God. Lord, I thank you so much that we can look back over your shoulder and see your lineage and realize that we aren't that bad. We aren't that off. But then, God, we can look forward and see that we're now born again into a new genealogy. God, the genealogies of the Bible stop right here. Why? Because it doesn't matter from this point forward, because you were born and you came to change it all. So humanity could have a personal one-on-one relationship with you and take you off of the glass case, take you off of the elitist status, take you off of the pedestal and put you into our lives. So today, God, we receive this blessing, we receive this gift, and we receive what you did for us on the cross. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.